Blog Talk Radio.
The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to Titus. Titus 1.
Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies." This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate.
Praise the Lord, this is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Thanks for joining us this morning. It is Saturday, the 9th of September, 2019, and we pray that all is well with you. Well, today we're going to be talking about a couple of issues today. We're going to talk about a new series we're starting, a discussion topics of the character traits of a godly man, of traits that we need to start to develop within our own lives and in our own Christian walk as we mature in the faith as men of God. Amen. So today we're going to be talking about being supportive, being tactful, and being a teacher and leading people. We're going to get into a little bit more of that today. I have my brother today is joining me, Elder Mark Garnes from New Vision for Life. Good morning, sir. Can you hear me?
Good morning. God bless you, sir. Yes, I can hear you quite well. Thank you very much for allowing me to be with you.
Amen. 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 Good to have you back on, brother, and hear your voice. Well, matter of fact, brother, let's do this. Let me ask you to open this up in prayer, and then we'll go right into the conversation. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father God, we honor you and bless you, Lord God. We thank you for another day that you've given us an opportunity, Lord God, to bask in the glory that is you, to give you honor, Lord God, as you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end, Lord God. We thank you that as we go into this discussion, Lord God, that it will be something, Lord God, that you have placed in our hearts and our minds, Lord God. You will be in control, Father God, and that each and every person listening right now, Lord God, those that will go back and hear in the archives, Lord God, those are online, Lord God, that each and every person will hear something that will bless their lives, Lord God, that the words spoken, Lord God, will not only be good words, but words that will do some good in our hearts and our minds, that change our perspective, make us have a new outlook, Lord God, to have better decisions as men, Lord God. Show us, Lord God, who you would call us to be, Lord God, so that we can live out our purpose, Lord God, to serve and honor you in each and everything that we do. We honor you and bless you and pray to the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, brother. I have a couple of announcements that I do want to share, because I was talking to a brother recently, and he gave me a call, and we want to you know, the upcoming events. There's a lot of things going on here in September. But the month of September is National Recovery Month. Those who are recovering and struggling with addiction to alcohol, drugs, any addiction, sexual, food, whatever addiction you can consider, and what was going on in our culture and in our community today with the opioid crisis. So I just wanted to share some upcoming event that's happening for the whole, for the entire month of September in the Washington, D.C. area. One of my brothers down there in his ministry, Minister Cavell Whitehead, and they're having opiate addiction focus forums. They'll be presenting awareness, treatment, and resources, and talking about the things, what it means, what opiates are, what's going on in the community, the resources that are out there, and also offering for healing for the hurts and habits and the hang-ups that we all struggle with. And it's going to be from September 1st to September 30th, every Wednesday night and every Friday night from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. In a location there, it's in Northeast Washington, D.C., 4401 Sheriff Road in Northeast Washington, D.C., the Opiate and Addiction Focus Forum. Every Friday night and Wednesday night from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we invite you to come out. You can go on our Facebook page. You can reach out. You can see the flyer there. We have it posted on the Facebook page. And also, just for those of my regular listeners that are listening, on September the 20th, Friday, September the 20th, we'll be doing a live on-air discussion panel about the opiate crisis, about addiction. Share some information about treatment centers and resources here locally in the Baltimore, D.C. area. We invite you to call in. And also, we want to give a shout out to that. We're going to have more information to come, some of the folks that are joining us. If you have any questions, you can call 667-210-7306. That's 667-210-7306. And as I say, the flyer and information is posted on our Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk. And it's also on Twitter, or you can just inbox us on Facebook and let us know, and we'll get you the information and get you the flyer. And for September is National Recovery Month. Amen? So in addition to that, we just want to continue to pray for those struggling in addictions, struggling with all kinds of sorts of addictions. I know a lot of times when we say addictions, the first thing we think about is drugs. And we know that now in this time, in this day and age, and in this season, the opiate crisis has reached epidemic levels, they say. But, you know, for those of us who know and those of us who've lived long enough, we know that drugs has been a scourge on our communities for a long time. It's one of those things that go from generation to generation. There may be a lull at different times and different points, but there's addicts out there. I hear testimonies all the time. Last night I was at an event at a meeting, and people shared about they had 25, 30-year addictions. So, you know, 25 and 30 years ago, the evils and the addiction and the issues that cause people to go to drugs and alcohol are still out there. And without Jesus Christ, without hearing the Savior, without knowing who they are in Christ, this is where people go, because we all struggle with something. And as I always say on this show, we all have issues. It's just how we choose to deal with them. And we want to go to God, go to the Word of God, and submit ourselves unto God to find the solutions, or we can go to drugs, to the bottle, to whatever, to our behaviors, you know, because there's a lot of things we can go to try to ease the pain and try to lessen the burden and the pressure that we live under every day. Amen? So we're going to continue to pray for those who are still in the midst of a struggle, those inside the church and outside the church. Amen? Amen. Well, today, this morning, we want to talk a little bit about characteristics, about character traits in ourselves. These are the things that we need to start developing ourselves. Again, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, I don't claim to have it all together or have all be done, or God is, you know, God, I've reached or achieved a level of success, spiritual maturity where these things don't struggle. I don't struggle with some of these areas, or have to. You have to tweak it too, because at different times of our life and different seasons of our lives, we handle things differently. We go through different things, and we're tested in different areas. Let me say that. But we all know that the Word of God has an answer for all the things we're going through, the things we're dealing with, and the choices that we have to make, and it gives us that wisdom and direction. So I just want to continue to encourage the brothers out there. So today we're going to touch on three different traits. We're going to talk about being supportive. We're going to talk about being tactful in the way we speak and handle people. And then we're going to talk about it's important for us to be able to teach. We should be a character trait as teachers, because we do it at a lot of levels. And also, I just want to say this to the brothers that are listening, for all of you who are listening who called in at 646-668-2636. You can always press 1 on your keypad and come into the conversation. We'll see you on the switchboard. We can bring you in. And for those online at www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr, we thank you for listening in and joining us. You can also either call in, or you can go to the Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk. And if you want to send us a question, inbox us a question, you can do that. We have someone monitoring that, so we can respond to you there also. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
So the first character we want to talk about is being supportive. And we want to define it as to come alongside others, sharing our strength and courage during their times of testing, their times of difficulties and afflictions, when someone's going through. Do we have a character trait? Are we known to be supportive in the midst of? You know, the big example that we all have in common that I could talk about and touch upon is if someone passes away, a family member, a close friend, someone you know, a friend, and they pass away, and how people react and how they handle it. And from grandparents to parents to children to cousins to aunts to, you know, whatever, and family members. And are we supportive in a Christian way to help them get through and just to pray for them, or to support them through it and bring out and help them in their spiritual growth? Because we know that, you know, it depends. Some people handle death differently, even for the Christian. And that's a really opportunity for people to be anchored in their faith. Because if they believe God and they believe that the person will have given their life to Christ, or they believed, and so you have to balance it out. Because we're all going to be emotional, because we are emotionally attached to each other. That's how we're made. But yet, knowing that their life was not lived in vain. And even for the unbeliever, it's an opportunity to share, to let them know that there's more to this life than what we see. And now, what are you going to do? How are you going to live? Because even at funerals, you know, I know a lot of pastors, men that I respect, they say funerals sometimes is the opportunity to preach the gospel. Because now people are thinking about eternity and where they're going. Because, again, the person there, their job is done. They're standing before God for the life they lived or did not live or whatever. It's done. But now, what are you going to do when your time comes? Because we all get a time to be in the box in the front of the church. We all going to get it. Death is fair. Everybody gets one. Everybody's going to experience it. Amen. Brother, what do you say about being that character trait of being supportive as, you know, as part of who we are, especially as Christian men? What do you say, sir?
As Christian men, support is, you know, we always say it, and sometimes it's said so much that it becomes cliche, but it's really a powerful statement that iron sharpens iron. Sometimes we have to be supportive of we should, as Christian men, be supportive of one another, because you never know when your brother can't hold his own weight. He needs a shoulder to lean on. And I know sometimes the masculinity in us, we look at, if I need a shoulder to cry on or lean on, that shows me as weak. But a man sometimes is just weakened by the burden. You're built and you're made strong enough to carry it, but sometimes the fight and the test in the midst of carrying it is so heavy that you're dealing with so much. You need support. So we need to be supportive of one another. You need to sometimes being supportive is just giving a brother a call and say, hey, you doing all right? And sometimes it'll allow a man to just say, you know what, I'm struggling, but I know somebody's there, so I feel a little better. You know, it's we always think that just because you show a level of vulnerability that it means you're less than a man. But I think any time that you can show your brother that you're supportive and that you need support, that's one of the strongest traits of a man can ever exude. It really shows that something that society would say he's weakened because he didn't hold up, he wasn't being the macho man or whatever. The fact that you're able to say, you know what, I do need some help. I do need a brother to hold me up. I do need a brother to walk with me on this path. All of that test from that struggle becomes a testimony, and that testimony can show another person that there is support, that you don't have to go through the issue by yourself. And that is who we're called to be. We're called to be disciples and evangelists. We're called to walk and to share the good news. We're called to share the love of Christ, the agape love. And that agape love means it's unconditional, that we'll support a brother when he's down. When you find a friend or find a person that's dealing with the drugs, as we were talking about this being the as Deacon Farr was talking about, when you find a brother that's going through something, sometimes he won't make it through by himself. But knowing that there's someone around is just an example of what God does, and that's the testimony we'll have a chance to share, that God works through each and every one of us to help someone else, because one day you may be the very one that needs the help. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And I agree. And that's what it's about. And that's where it goes back to, you know, previously we did programs talking about the importance of being a church membership, being part of a local body, a local congregation. These are the kind of things we talk about again. Can you show this character trait if you're never around other Christians or other people? You choose to be a long ranger Christian, which is unbiblical. Let me put it this way. I said this before when we had that discussion, but I want to say it again, because some of these character traits you can't self, you can't do stuff alone. How could you be supportive if you never run anyone to be supportive to? If you're not showing love and compassion to somebody else, if you're not doing what God has called us to do, to be a community of believers, but yet we have folk out here who don't think they need to belong to a church, they don't like church, they got problems with organized religion, they have a whole lot of statements that if you really examine the words they're using, it doesn't even make sense. Because the Word of God tells us that we are the body of Christ, that we need one another. So you only believe certain parts of Scripture, that you're saved and you're going to heaven and you don't have to do nothing else, which is not what the Bible teaches. And again, what kind of life are we living, brothers, men? And this goes back to what our passion here at Issues Christian Men's Talk has always been, the importance of godly Christian believing men to gather together and encourage one another. It's called men's ministry, men's fellowship, whatever you want to call it. It can be structured. It can be unstructured. But again, who's in your life? What godly men are in your life to hold you accountable, to help you with this walk, to help us grow in the things of God, to labor alongside? You know, again, we have to consider what Scripture's teaching. Jesus had 12. The 12 went out two by two. Paul had Barnabas. Paul had, Silas. You know, it's just so much that the Scripture teaches about companionship, the church, the body of Christ, how we are believers, are we to look out for one another. There's so many, there's many, many verses after our salvation that we have to look out for each other as the church, not the building, but us as individuals coming together is the body of Christ. Just the example God used in the beginning with Israel, he chose them. Not because of who they were, and they weren't nobody special. They weren't a great nation. They weren't the smartest nation, the most powerful nation. But God chose them to show himself to the rest of the world and the cultures and the other nations that he was God. And they did things that they couldn't do just out of their sheer numbers and who they were. They had great victories. And but yet in their disobedience, they had great defeats also. But God always kept them, protected them, and watched over them, even in the midst of their failures. And this is the same God. He's going to do the same thing for us through the power of the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus has done for us. So I just, you know, when we talk about being supportive, I want to go to scripture real quick. I want to go to Galatians chapter number 6 and look at verse number 2. And it's a simple verse because it says it plainly. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is that law? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself will fulfill all the law of the gospel. That's what he wants from us. And we have to be able to support and need to support you because, you know, it's funny. We struggle with supporting others, but when we go through, we get mad when no one comes and helps us out, or encourages us. When we're going through our burdens, and then we have folk look around, you know, that, what's the word I'm looking for, brother? Oh, you know, that famous church hurt. Somebody in the church did something to me. I said, wow, really? That's what it looks like when the shoe's on the other foot. So how do we behave? But we have an expectation that other people should behave towards us, but we're not willing to show this character trait of being supportive. What else? You want to add something else to that, brother?
Yeah, I was when you read verse 2, I looked at verse 1. I'm going to just read that and then kind of expound on it. And it says, brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. So that says it right there. If you call yourself spiritual, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, that's your duty that if a man is being overtaken by something, you're to restore him. You're to help build him back up. That's what support is. You're supposed to hold a person up. You're supposed to hold up your fellow brother. And brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, if there's anything going on in his life, you as a spiritual man, you as a Christian man are supposed to support him in a spirit of gentleness. It means you're not supposed to judge him in his issue. You're not supposed to condemn him in his issue, but you're supposed to support him with the word of God, with the love of God, which is, of course, so fulfill the law of Christ, which is in verse 2. You're supposed to do that in that spirit of gentleness, which means you don't hold him. You don't, not that you don't ask for a man to be accountable. Any man should be accountable for what he's going through and his choices. But at the same time, you can't condemn a man for where he has fallen short because we all will fall short. The word says a righteous man would fall 7 times and get back up. So we're all going to fall. The question is, will you be the brother that's supportive to help him stand back up? Because when you fall, just like Deacon said, you're going to be looking for somebody to support you. And when they don't, it's, oh, some of the church didn't do this for me, and oh, somebody didn't do this for me. And then we say, well, why I don't want to be supportive, and I don't want to do this. I don't want to gather with other people. That's all cop-outs because you don't want to show yourself as vulnerable. But if you're a true man, if you're a man who knows, who has belief that he truly can stand as a man, not masculine, but truly can stand as a man, then your level of vulnerability doesn't make you less of a man. It makes you a stronger man that you can show that and that you can walk with someone else to get through it and help another person get through the same issue or their issue, whatever the case may be. But if you see another man being overtaken by something, it's your spiritual duty to help restore him and to lift him up in that spirit of gentleness. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. And you know, and even in the midst of that, brothers, I just want you to consider, you know, God, these are the things that God's going to hold us accountable to, because he's going to hold us accountable to every word of Scripture. Because Scripture it's not for our cliches, it's not for us for cute sayings. These are the guidelines, these are the blueprints, these are the directions for how we should live our Christian faith, that we are shaped and molded to be more like Christ. That's what the Word is for. That's what he gave us the Word for, to show us direction and guide us through. And we ought to read it and we ought to apply it. The Word says that we ought to be more than just hearers of the Word, but be doers of the Word. And these are the things we're talking about as men. Our character should be shaped and molded by the Word of God. And that's what we want to touch on and encourage you brothers in today. Also, my sisters out there listening, and because I know a couple of y'all sneak in every now and then, But we're talking about this, but we also, this isn't what the body of Christ should be all about. These are the things we're striving for. So I just want to encourage the sisters out there too, that, you know, it just seek God, seek the wisdom of Scripture, and seek the fellowship of the saints, seek the fellowship of true believers, you know, and just and start to grow the church. Because again, you know, let me say this, and we're gonna move on. But you know, people want to say the church is this, and the church used to be, and what the church could have done, and the church used to have respect, and the church used to be this and that. But just what you're saying is, if we think about what we're saying, what the church used to be, and how people used to see the church, that's just because that's how they saw our forefathers and foremothers in the previous generation of church, but they don't see us at that, and they don't treat us with the same respect. And we don't have the same cultural or spiritual respect that the church of past generations had because of us. It's not that the church has lost the credibility or the church has lost respect or people don't respect the church anymore. You know, it's because it's us. We are the church. If we're the church, that means they don't see us, this culture, not our grandmother's church and not our mother, father's church and our parents' church, but they don't see us in the same reverence of respect because that's how they don't see the church as that. And whose fault is that? It's the same thing as Israel. When Israel was disobedient and fell, and then people could mock the God of Israel because of Israel's failures, the things they did in disobedience that other nations were watching. We have to remember, see, that's why I encourage every man, woman, and child of the faith to read and study Scripture, and you'll see the truths of Scripture and understand what's really going on and how we ought to live and what it means to really be salt and light, to be, be the light to the world and of the world. And it's us. We have to remember that. We are the body of Christ. You know, we read the Scriptures and we say them amongst ourselves inside our four walls, but do we live it out in the world that we are epistles read by men? And do we understand that every moment of every day in Walmart, Target, supermarket, and the mall, I don't want to call it out like I got it all together, but again, are we really living to be epistles that people can see God through us? Amen.
No.
Well, today we're gonna move on with that. I'm not gonna. That was my sermon for this month. No, we're gonna talk about being tactful. We're gonna talk about being considerate and being delicate and diplomatic with others' feelings and ideas, and doing and saying the right thing. And I think that's part of it also, because even in the midst of us being people of God, people of the truth, people living, I pray, living righteous lives and obedient lives, how we talk to others, do we treat each other with love and sympathy for the unbeliever and for those in the body of Christ? Where again, when they're going through, when they struggle, my brother shared, when they fall, when they make a mistake and they fall, you know, are we tactful in how we do things? Are we tactful with the unbeliever when we're talking about sin? Because we could define sin and we could look at what somebody's doing and just bang, 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 sin, 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 you're a sinner, this is what you're doing is sin, but are we tactful in it? You know, because some of us were delivered from some stuff, but when we go to share with the unbeliever that's doing that, or even the church folk that's doing what you now call yourself delivered from, are we tactful, are we delicate, and are we diplomatic in how we share the faith of the gospel? And this is what I go back to again in the scripture. We look at example of what Jesus did, how Peter spoke to people, how Paul ministered to the Gentiles. Because I love Paul personally, because Paul, even though he was raised as a Jew and a Pharisee and a knowledgeable of the law and knew it all and was a persecuted church, and yet, you know, when he talked to people who had no background in Judaism, he was able to share Jesus Christ to people who didn't have the background that a Jew would. Because, again, even if we look at Jesus, Jesus spoke to the Jews one way and spoke to the Gentiles another in sharing the gospel. And do we have the same way And as Christ showed his compassion to those who were sinners, who had missed the mark, who were living lives that were contrary to what God created them to do, how did he approach them? And are we doing that? And are we capable of that? What do you say, sir? How important is it to be tactful for a man of God in as a character trait in how he lives his life day to day?
And as you said, it ties right back into what we mentioned in the support of and from Galatians 6:1, where it says, where it said a spirit of gentleness. And that's truly what it means. You have to, when you're supporting, when you're helping a person, when you're talking to a person, when you're helping them get through, you have to be tactful. You have to be considerate of their feelings. You have to be delicate in a way. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't, speak to them and hold them accountable. Delicate doesn't mean like you're, like a weak little flower or something, but it means that your approach to them isn't such a judgmental thing that you push them away. Just like Deacon Farr said, you can't go to, to preach to someone about, changing their life and tell them how bad they are. Tell them that you're almost belittling a person, telling them how bad they are, how much sin they're, how they're full of sin and they need to be saved and they're living their life so wrong. That's a turnoff. That's a turnoff. Yeah, granted, we've all gone for, we've been delivered from so many things. Some of us are still dealing with a lot. I know I am. Every day I'm still dealing with more things that I need to be delivered from. That's just the growth of a Christian person. Every day you're going to grow. Every day there's change that need to be made. The day that you become perfect, the day that you've reached all the goals, the day that you've been delivered from everything, more than likely will be the day that you're called home. But before then, you got to realize, just like someone else, when you're speaking to someone, you don't want someone to approach you and tell you how bad you are, how much you're messing up, and you're this, that, and the other. Yes, we do talk to our fellow brothers about sin. We do talk to them about the call of a Christian man, what it means to be to serve God, and what it means to live a righteous life. Yes, but you don't condemn a person and tell them that they're, it's like someone walking up to you and telling you everything that you've done wrong. When you were younger, I know for me, if my parents came up and told me I did this wrong, this, that, and the other wrong, I'm thinking, well, what did I actually do right? Now I feel so bad about myself, I can't even consider myself to moving in the right way, to doing anything right. If someone just tells me all you did was this, all you did was mess up this, all you did was that. We need to approach one another to lift each other up. And when you lift your fellow brother up tactfully, then you can actually speak to them and they won't feel condemned, but more feel as they're being held accountable than being blamed or condemned for something that they did. I mean, it's too much going on for a person to just be beat down and even beat over the head with the word. When you share the word, as an uplifting, not something that's going to tear a person down. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen. I believe that's very important because, again, we just have to remember how we want to be treated. Love thy neighbor as ourselves. And this is where we are character trait. Do we want to be someone? We want to be the person how we want somebody to treat us in the midst of our time of need, our time of fellowship. Do we want to show ourselves friendly? Because, we have to look at ourselves on both sides of the coin. And I think that's where we have to be. Would you want someone to say that to you in that way? Would you want someone to treat you a certain way when you messed up and when you're going through or when you're pressured? What would you want to say in both of these ones we talk about being supportive and being tactful? How would you want someone to approach you for the people that are in your life right now, your church member, your church family, your biological family, in the home, your husband, your wives? How would you want to treat, how would you want to treat your wife when you mess up? Wives, how would you want to treat your husband to treat when you make a mistake or mess up something that affects everybody? Because that's what it is. The difference between when a person messes up and then their choices affect their life. But now, what do you do when their choices affect you? Because, again, as husbands and fathers, these are the things we have to deal with, and how do we respond to that? Because that is the ultimate challenge. Because remember, all ministry starts in the home. So how do we, in our homes, how do we respond? Are we supportive and tactful in what we do and what we say? And then it goes straight, then it goes out to our church family. Then it goes out to the unbeliever. And then it goes out to our coworkers, associates, and people who know us. But again, these are character traits. So this is what you, this is what's inside of you. And so you can't, you don't really turn it on and off. You develop it. And then once it's developed in you, that's why I said, this is a discussion of character traits we all need to develop. Because when it's developed and it's part of you, you don't turn it on and off. But we all have to start the process of applying scripture, hearing the word, and applying the word to our life. And that's what we talk about here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. And as you didn't know, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with Elder Mark Gaines. And we're here on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. live. The fall is here, so we're going to be doing a little bit more programs and broadcasting live during the week. On Mondays at 8 p.m., right before Monday Night Football, for them brothers out there, let y'all know. Y'all can listen to the show and then watch the game. And this is a better pregame than what you're probably going to see. Thursday nights, again at 8 o'clock, before the game, this is going to be a pregame show. I'm going to use that as advertising, bro. I just thought that just came to me, man. I'm going to use that as our advertisement on Facebook. We're going to do pregame before the games on Mondays and Thursdays. There you go.
Amen.
But also, I encourage you to also go to www.blogtalkradio.com/ Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to the archive and rebroadcast of this show and all of our shows. Oh, and also, I wanted to share this with my listening audience and those who listen regular. We're coming up on 350 shows. Today I was doing the archive and doing some things on the website and realized we're two or three shows away from 350. So we're going to have a party or something. Celebrate that, because I think it's been like 4 years. So I thank God for that. I'll give a shout out to Apostle Etta Banks, because she was one me connecting with her, and she connected me with Blog Talk. And for a while, we was doing our show together. And she's, matter of fact, she's live now from 9 to 10 at Heart to Heart. You can go connect with that on Facebook too, and listen to her program. She does Heart to Heart. She does a lot of different things. I won't say it's a woman's show, but, you know, we got men. She does Heart to Heart. Some of her stuff is on there, and sometimes we are calling over there too. But she talks about the same, you know, biblical principles, things on how you apply the word and give them wisdom and guidance and direction. Amen? So I'm going to give a shout-out to her as we come up on 350. Maybe I'll have her on my show for 350 show. But we'll work on that. Amen? But again, we're here Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., Thursdays at 8 p.m., and Mondays at 8 p.m. And we just want to discuss some of the things as to encourage men to point out some of the issues we're dealing with as men, as husbands, fathers, and sons, as we're leading the family, leading the church, leading the community. Amen. Well, our third one for today, we're going to touch on a bunch of more of these, but today we're just going to do a couple because we want to keep it. Where you can take time and soak in and prepare in the ground so it can take root and you can have time to apply it. We're going to talk about teaching, being a teacher, teaching the wisdom of God, being able to share our insights that we have learned with others and to disciple them. So there's two things there I wanted to stress to the brothers that are listening, for those that called in. You know, it's the things we've learned, our experiences, our growth in Christ, our spiritual growth, our growth in life, our life experiences, because we are human beings on this world, and we've lived a lot of things, we've learned a lot of things before we came to Christ and after we came to Christ. But now are we willing to show and teach people what we learned, that maybe to prevent them from going through or to help them get through? You know, I've been through what you've been through. I know what you're going through, but this is what you can do. Something I've learned, you know, over the years, a while back, you don't say this is what you should do. You say, I know this is what I've done, and I know what you can do. And you take people to the word, and you disciple them through. And you give them opportunity to be a sounding board. Sometimes you teach people more by letting them bounce their thoughts and ideas and emotions off of you. Because you'd be surprised by how much stuff people will say to you, and it'll bounce back, and they'll hear what they're saying, and it helps them. that's deep, but I'll let that sink in a minute. But all, and then are we discipling? Are we on purpose trying to reach people and encourage people along the way? The brother talked about it. Elder Mark said it before. Are we reaching out to people? Are we checking in on people? Are we checking people's oil in our circle of influence? Are we making sure everybody's all right? You know, see, really understanding how you doing? Is everything okay? Who haven't you seen in church in a while? Who you haven't seen in Bible study in a while? You know, just calling and calling and always, I'll say this, always praying for people by name. That, you know, just calling them out before God is a thing. It is also good. But when we talk about teaching, are we able to share insights and what we've learned with others and disciple them? What do you say, brother? How important is that, a character that we have to develop as men?
Definitely as men, you know, it's our duty to be role models. And that truly is a teacher, teaching, being a role model that you teach the way to live by living the right way. And I know some people will see the word teaching like, oh, I can't sit up and preach to somebody and tell them what to do, or, you know, I can't interpret things and help them change their life. But you can if your life is an example. And you teach to share insight because you've been through something. Everything that you say God has delivered you through, or the things that you're being delivered through, it's somebody else out there that may be in the same process, but maybe in a different place in that process. We've had men that have dealt with, you know, all kind of addictions, and addictions to pornography, addictions to alcohol, drugs, men that have been incarcerated, men that have, you know, people that have gone through all these different things, but all these people that have gone through these different things have been delivered and are being delivered by the grace of God. Glory be to God that they're receiving that blessing. And in that, it's our duty as Christian men, as Christians, that as we go through, we're going through not only for ourselves, but to show someone else how to get through. Jesus taught in parables so many times because it was a way to explain the truth, the law, to give an understanding of the call on our lives and what God has for us and the blessings God intends to pour into us as we live as his disciples and evangelists, as we follow his ways and his laws. But when we live our life, as we live our lives, we should walk in a way that shows others. It gives others insight into what it means to live as a Christian man or a Christian, because we are living by the word of God. We are following the word of God, and that will truly disciple them, because if a person knows you used to be addicted to drugs and they see you change your life and their desires have changed, they want to know, well, what did you do? What did you change about your life? And you can say, well, glory to God, what changed me was I started getting into the word of God. What changed me was I joined a church, a local assembly of people that were supportive, people that spoke to me tactfully, people that were considerate of where I was to get me to where I needed to be. And that's what you have to do. That's teaching. Teaching doesn't mean you're going to sit down and give somebody an instruction manual. The instructions are already written. They're in the word of God. But if we can only throw scriptures at somebody without insight, all we're doing is throwing words at them. But if we show them how those words have empowered our lives, then you give them an example and therefore a greater insight on how they can change. So you've taught them with insight and discipled them into changing their lives. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And that's what we ought to do as a church, even in the midst of all that, you know, and for the unbeliever, you know, for just the unbeliever, are we reaching the unbeliever in our teaching, in how we live, how we talk to them, how we share the gospel? You know, something I say, you know, as part of our evangelism team, when we go out into the union, well, when the church, when you and your church gets out the four walls and goes into the community, don't assume that, we can't go in with the assumption that everyone has heard the gospel and just rejected it. We can't, that's not what we're called to do. We're called to go and tell folk about the gospel. And that's why I say, for even anyone who does evangelism, do you know the gospel? Can you explain the gospel? Who is Jesus? What must they do to be saved? Can you answer people's legitimate questions? It's not go because, you know, sometimes people go out and they're on the defensive. Like, you know, they're gonna ask me this, and if they ask you who is Jesus, can you tell someone who Jesus is? Can you explain salvation without using the churchese, the words that we use in the church all the time, to someone who was not in the church, raised in the church, grandmama didn't go to church? You know, can we share the gospel? Can we do what Paul and Peter did, what the disciples did? They went out into different cultures. They left Jerusalem. They left Palestine, that whole area, and went out throughout the whole world and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can we do that? Are we filled with enough knowledge and understanding and submitted ourselves unto the Holy Spirit to be able to teach? And that's, like my brother said, teaching is not a word we should run from. I mean, this is going to be my personal opinion. I think in the body of Christ, we use the word teach, and only certain people can do it, and we put it out there as something untouchable, inconceivable, and you need someone to lay hands on you, and you had to be authorized and licensed. And that's not what the scripture teaches about teaching and who we are and we're called to do. You know, we called as believers to be led by the power of the Holy Spirit and submit to it within us and tell somebody what we know. Again, this is why I encourage every man, woman, and child, every husband, father, and son, study the word of God for yourself and get the understanding of what was done and how. Read the book of Acts. Read the book of Acts. And understand that you go out and you share Jesus Christ. You share what you know of Christ. You give your testimony. I believe Paul, he gave his testimony like three times, just in the book of Acts, amongst the Gentiles who knew nothing about the Jewish traditions or who the Jews, they might know who the Jews were, but didn't understand the Jewish traditions. But yet, he was able to share Jesus Christ, that he was the fulfillment of all. That what the Jews were doing in the Jewish culture, he's the fulfillment of the promise and of the law that the Jews had. So can we go out in the midst of an unbelieving, unknowing world and share the gospel and show these character traits of being supportive and being tactful and being able to teach and share and encourage someone to understand and come to faith in Jesus Christ that might save their destiny, their eternal soul? Because I think that's the most important thing. Because people are living out here today, you know, they, you know, everybody out here is not out here doing the blasphemous seven deadly sins. Some people are just living life, but yet, because they don't know Christ and haven't heard the gospel, they're going to spend eternity separated from God in hell. And that's what scripture teaches. It doesn't matter how wonderful you are, how great you are, you know, it's about, do you know God? Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you accepted? If you accepted Christ's perfect gift of salvation, because he died and shed his blood for every man, woman, and child, and are we able to communicate that? That's what we're called to do as a church in all that we do. Amen? Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, we're here every Monday night at 8, every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. We encourage you can call in at 646-668-2636. Or again, you can listen to the broadcast or at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Elder Mark, brother, I want to thank you for coming and joining us today. And I want to give you, you know, the last word. You can do a wrap up and then close out in prayer on your thoughts about character traits today, about its importance for a man of God to be supportive, to be tactful in how we treat others, and character of teaching and of being able to teach, to encourage others what we've learned and to disciple others. What do you say, sir?
Amen, amen. As always, Deacon Farr, I'm so thankful that you gave me the opportunity to join with you in this, in the discussion, just to empower men, to lift each other up. Truly, iron does sharpen iron. And as we talk about being supportive and tactful and teaching with insight, I just think that, you know, I just encourage all the men to look at, even if you go back and think of the teachers or the people that affected your life the most, that fed into you, that's what they did. They supported you when you were down, when things didn't add up, then things didn't go right. Even if it was a tutor who was teaching you something in a math equation or a science teacher, they were teaching you something, and they did so with insight because they had an understanding. So they shared their understanding, but they did so tactfully that you would receive it. And as you received it, then it was what supported you and helped you to move further, helped you to go to the next level, helped you to go on to get that better grade to move on. And when we think about things as Christian men, sometimes if we look at it from a perspective of what the secular world, it makes it easier to explain and break down sometimes. And I just think that as we stand with each other, we just know that we have to be supportive because that's your desire. Your desire is to have someone to back you up. We have to do so tactfully because your desire is, as you want to be treated a certain way when someone approaches you. And you also desire to be taught because if no one shows you what to do or tells you how to do it, how can you be expected to do it in the right way? So I just encourage you, man of God, to all those listening, to the ladies that have joined as well, to everyone on the line, those that will go back and listen to this later on, this broadcast later on, as we're building toward the 350th show, praise God. I just encourage you that as you go, support each other, do so tactfully, do so with respect, do so delicately when you deal with another person as you would want them to deal with you in the same way. Consider who they are, where they are, and where they're trying to get to you. And as they're moving, show them the way by teaching them with insight because you may have already been through what they're going through. And I just close in prayer. Thank you, Father God, for all that you are, O God. You truly bless us, Lord God, as you continue to pour into us, Lord God, as you support us, Lord God, as you continue to guide us, Lord God, as you do so, Lord God, loving us, Lord God, with the unconditional love. You never look at us, Lord God, as unvaluable, Lord God, but you see us, Lord God, as your children being perfected, Lord God, walking, Lord God, to draw closer and closer to you. We thank you, Lord God, that you are continuing to teach us, Lord God, with revelation and discernment as you allow Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and our minds to fill us, Lord God, with everything that is you, Lord God. We thank you that you continue to pour into us, Lord God, that you continue to bless us. We uplift each and every person listening, Lord God, that hearts and minds are changed, Lord God, from the ways of old, Lord God, that each and every day we will be birthed as new creatures, Lord God, with a better desire, a stronger desire to live the way that you have called for us to live. We know that there are so many, Lord God, as all of us. None of us are living a perfected life. And thank you that as you are the potter, Lord God, and we are the clay, Lord God. Make us, Lord God, into what you would desire for us to be so that we can receive the true treasures of eternity with you. Father, we honor you and we bless you. We thank you for this opportunity and every opportunity that we have to share with one another to build each other because, as your word says, iron truly sharpens iron. We honor you and bless you and praise the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.